Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. The trades are protecting the plantation course today. They're blowing 15 to 20 miles per hour, but it's going to be oh so hot today. Forecast between 87 and 91 degrees. So you're getting out to play a round of golf. Do me a favor, put on some sunscreen, protect yourself if you'd like to play around. There's a Poipu Bay at 11:30, tee time Makalei 9:48, Royal Hawaiian has a 9:18, Bayview has a 9:10, a 10:36. Watch out for the second hole. It's short, but it's a tough one. Now, speaking of tough, the record numbers of new coronavirus cases in one day set the U.S. daily record a couple of times this week. And I mentioned this just to let you know that the southern and western states are having a rough time of it after the Memorial Day weekend, loosening up those lockdowns, reopening the businesses. Hawaii's numbers have been going up. You know, 16 on Thursday, was it 17 on Friday? Governor Ige says qualifying travelers can come into Hawaii starting in August, but they can only avoid going to the 14-day quarantine if they get the COVID-19 test, testing negative 3 days before traveling here. Well, details are still being worked out. Of course, the visitor industry, our economic engine, Waikiki, they're starting to rev up. Ige says starting August 1st, the state will begin the pre-arrival testing program for the travelers to Hawaii with temperature checks. Well, speaking of all this, the screening and COVID-19 testing, all of this is going on the PGA Tour, trying to keep everybody in the bubble. But as the commissioner, Jay Monahan, figured out, there is no real bubble when people fly from one place, go down, for instance, let's say, to a funeral in Florida, and then come back up to the tournaments. Cameron Champ became the second player to test positive after Nick Watney. Nick Watney last week, Cameron Champ this week. Brooks Koepka withdrew this week because his caddy tested positive. "I'm taking this pretty seriously," said Koepka, "and I don't want to take any chances," and so he withdrew. Chase Koepka, a Monday qualifier, withdrew because he'd been practicing in his brother's group where the caddy had tested positive. So he says, "Thank you to everyone who sent me messages, but because I was in close contact with a positive test," he also withdrew. Graham McDowell withdrew, his caddy testing positive. Plus, Graham wasn't feeling well. Webb Simpson also withdrew, a family member testing positive. Well, fortunately, I just heard this morning that everybody in Webb Simpson's family is fine. So from now on, flying on the PGA Tour charter, the protocol is you get tested on Saturday, you leave on Sunday, you are tested again upon arrival. The fitness trailer will be on site. At this point, they've been going to outside gyms. So players no longer going off site to gyms. All players will be wearing masks in the fitness trailer. And anyone who wants to be eligible for the stipend that helps you through a positive test, for players, it's $100,000. For caddies, it's $10,000. You must follow all of these protocols. Okay, all of that was Thursday. Then on Friday, Denny McCarthy tested positive. Bud Cauley tested negative, but he withdrew because he was playing in McCarthy's group. Matt Wallace, who was also playing with the two, decided to continue. He tested negative, of course, and not very happy. And then we had Jason Day not feeling well, and he was playing alone until his test came back, at which point they say two carts would have come out, one for Jason, one for his caddy, and taken him off the course. All of this happening as the PGA Tour starts to rev up and into its third tournament. You know, it's the first one went flawlessly. The second one, we had the first COVID-19 test. This is the third one. They're learning as they go. So we're going to have a great show with you. Alex Meyer, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine, is checking in with us. Jonathan Coachman, the coach, PGA Works ambassador, will be with us. Claude Brousseau, Hawaii's only PGA master, the director of instruction at Wailea Golf Club, with tips for your game coming up. And Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient. And, of course, he writes for the LPGA. He'll be with us to talk about how the LPGA Tour is coming along. We'll be back after this, thanking the people who make this show possible. My name is Danielle Tucker.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him right in now. Alex Meyer, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Oh, hey, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. Wow, this is quite a show. The coach, Mr. Syrak, my former colleague. I'm honored to be a part of this show and happy to kick it off with you.
Absolutely. Now, what I just laid out, were you surprised at the number of withdrawals because of test positive or just because they were around others? What are your thoughts?
Well, I guess initially I was, just because, as you mentioned, that first event went so smoothly, and then you get to the next event and you hear that, you know, there's no positive tests, and they start it, and you're like, wow, this is, they're really going to pull this off without any hiccups. And you know, of course, Nick Watney becomes the first one to test positive before the second round at the Heritage. And then, as you mentioned, all the ones that have happened this week. So, you know, if you look at it overall, all the over 1,000 tests that they've run, that only a handful have come back positive. On one hand, it shouldn't be that surprising. But on the other, I think just because we got off to such a great start, everybody was feeling so optimistic about this, we're starting to get a little worried. I know on Wednesday, when the news kept breaking and then Jay Monahan was going to have that press conference, I think some people were starting to worry, wow, is he going to pull the plug on this, on this whole thing? And, you know, obviously that ended up not happening. But I will say give credit to Brooks Koepka and Chase Koepka, some of those guys who did not, Graham McDowell too, who did not actually test positive, but who still withdrew just out of extra precaution to their fellow tour players. I think that was an admirable thing to do. And I think if we're going to keep the tour going, we're going to have people play it extra safe.
Yes. And exactly. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it was like, wow, we're not being selfish. I think not being selfish right now is the only way this country is going to get back to decreasing the curve. We were bringing it down, and then everybody went out and started, you know, it's party. And whoops, you know, all of a sudden people don't realize just how contagious this thing is. It's not the flu. It has a life of its own. It can live on surfaces for days. It's something we've never experienced, and we have to be very cautious. But let's get to the Travelers. And speaking of Chase Koepka, the Travelers Championship, because he was a Monday qualifier, it was like, wow, he qualified to get into this field and he still withdrew. He has an automatic, if he doesn't qualify for the Travelers next year.
Yep.
They've given him an exemption. He'll be playing in the Travelers next year. I thought that was extremely classy. So here I am, you know, watching as much as I can because I have a work job, you know, one that I actually have to be at Monday through Friday. And I'm watching, I'm going, whoa, amazing. I mean, watching Mackenzie Hughes almost get a 59. Wow, these people are incredible, you know, and then I turn on the TV Friday, Phil Mickelson, Phil Mickelson is leading. He's at 13 under. What? You know, I was blown away.
Yeah, I mean, when we've had actual action, and unfortunately they had to go off early today because of potential storms coming through here, but when we've had action, it's been really exciting and riveting stuff. I mean, all three tournaments so far have been fantastic. But yeah, I mean, you had a 59 watch. Unfortunately, Mackenzie Hughes forgot that you should probably give it a good run on that putt when you're putting 59. You're probably not going to have too many opportunities. He came about 4 feet short. Mm. Luckily, he did at least make it for the 60. And then, yeah, Phil Mickelson, I know today he's not he hasn't kept it going, but he's still certainly in the mix. But to take the lead through 36 holes in your first event as a 50-year-old is pretty impressive stuff. Quite a nice debut for him. I mean, you know, I think he came here, and I was kind of joking earlier in the week, he's trying to win the senior division now at these tournaments. But no, he's looking for the whole thing. I mean, he shot his lowest in relation to par, I think, through 36 holes of his career. So pretty impressive start for him. And, obviously we would have liked to see him at Wingfoot for his 50th birthday. That would have been quite a celebration. But now with the new criteria that the USGA released, he will be in the field in September when the U.S. Open happens at Wingfoot. Of course, we all know what happened to him there 14 years ago, so that would be a great story for him to come back and get a little revenge on that course.
Yeah. Now, Phil's been straight, like straight down the fairway. Today he's not. Somebody said that it's a good thing there are no fans, because otherwise people would be going home bandaged. He's all over the place. But watching him, when he said something that was so insightful, he said that in the past he's been trying to compete distance wise with the kids, and right. He realized that just isn't working. He's got to play right. His own game. He's going to different clubs and watching his short game. It was just incredible. That hole out from the greenside bunker was amazing. It's that kind of finesse.
Yeah, no, he's still a master, obviously, in particular with the wedges. And it's funny, though, that he said that about not trying to compete distance-wise with the younger guys. I think it probably has a little something to do with his playing partners this week. He played with Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy this first 2 days, and no one basically is keeping up with those guys. So it's almost like he played with guys who are so powerful that he was able to say, all right, there's no way I can keep up with these guys, took the pressure off on that level on some regards, and that maybe freed him up to not worry about the distance, because we know he likes to hit bombs, as he always tweets and Instagrams about. So he does like to hit, and for a 50-year-old, he does hit bombs, but no one is hitting it as far as Bryson DeChambeau this day. And I think, Phil, seeing that up close, I think it was a reminder to him, okay, let the young guys have the distance. I'll school them around the greens, and that's what he did those first 2 days.
Yeah, and DeChambeau says, you watch him just like master the driver. What is it, a 5 degree? Incredibly insane. He says it's like with my putting, watching Webb Simpson, I realized I don't know what I'm doing. That was last week, right? And this week he's watching, I guess, Phil, the master of the wedge, and he's like, I don't know what to do with wedges. I don't know what, it's a part of my game that I just don't have. And so it's one thing I've always watched, somebody said to me on Twitter, are we losing the art of the game? And then I saw Phil. It really, as long as you're playing and you're playing the art of the game, are we losing the art of the game? Let me ask you.
Well, I think there's certainly a case to be made that some of these guys, Bryson, Rory, even the other day, they're taking lines off the tee that clearly the architects of these courses never could have even imagined that guys would be doing. So in that regard, we're not seeing the courses played the way they were supposed to be played. Now, that being said, I go back and forth on whether or not I like that or not. I don't want it to become completely one-dimensional where everybody's just hitting driver and not worried about where it's going because they just realize that the distance is more important. But like you mentioned, we're able to see still guys like Phil compete. Like Brendan Todd is at the top of the leaderboard right now. He does not hit it far. He does not hit bombs compared to these guys. So the fact that there's still is a chance for these other guys to do it a different way, I think we're still okay. That being said, if we do continue to get more guys do what Bryson's doing, go to the 5-degree driver, gain 50 pounds, all start slugging it, then maybe we will start to lose some of the art. Because if everybody in the field is doing that, or uniform way of attacking the golf course. But right now, there's still different ways to go about attacking some of these courses. You know, these first 2 weeks, Colonial, Heritage, those aren't bombers courses. And we saw Webb Simpson win. We saw Daniel Berger win. He's not necessarily one of the longest hitters. So, you know, we're not seeing it all go down to brute strength, at least not yet. And I hope we never get to that point. But, you know, certainly we're kind of trending in that direction. But right now, it's still great. You can still see a variety of guys get it done.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And seeing, you know, he shot a 67, and that's a great score. And DeChambeau, you know, he was not happy because he knew he could have done better if he had his short game. So you can't just hit driver, unless you're at Aaron Hills. You still have to get it in the hole. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line.
And, you know, the one drive that was yesterday, the 428-yard drive, and I guess it did have a little aid from the car path, but 428-yard drive on a 470-yard hole, and that's the longest drive of his career, again, with an asterisk, but he ends up bogeying the hole. So it just goes to show you, maybe he hit it too close on that hole. He put himself in an awkward spot. You still have to then do the rest of the hole. You can't just rely on the distance all the time. That being said, I will say his experiment is clearly working because, you know, you see how many putts that this guy has missed, especially these first couple days at the Travelers. And then you look up on the leaderboard, and he's still in the top 10. And he was in the top 10 last week, and he almost won at Colonial. And he almost won, I think, at Honda. I mean, he's been in contention in the last five or six events that he's played in. So the distance is clearly not hurting the other parts of his game so much that he's not still contending. And I think that should definitely scare some of his fellow competitors. This guy was already a good player, and now he's become the longest hitter in addition to being a good player. That's a scary combination.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's interesting watching Bryson. Rory, though, was it the first round where he sailed that ball right over the dog? I mean, just unbelievable. It cleared the trees, right? Just whonk. I mean, it was watching it and the sound and all that is, you know, amazing. Rory comes on so strong, and it's almost like he surprises himself and then he doesn't follow through the next day. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because you watch him shoot. It seems like he shoots a 63 every single tournament, whether it's the first round or the second round or even the third round. But then you don't usually see that from him on Sunday for whatever reason. And you know, look, he still ends up finishing in the top five most of the time. He still gets his couple wins a year. Obviously, he was the player of the year last year. But it's kind of amazing when you see someone make the game look so easy. It's like Bryson DeChambeau does not make the game look easy. I mean, he's swinging so hard, and he's trying so hard with all these different things to maximize his distance. But Rory just goes out there and just takes apart these courses. And so when you see that, you then say, man, how has it been 6 years since he won a major? It just kind of blows your mind. So I still think we will get another torrid stretch of golf from Rory at some point in his career. He's just too good where he'll rip off a few majors in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But it is weird that he can show these flashes every week, but then he doesn't seem to win as much as you would think he should.
Yeah, he's the number one player in the world, and I'm saying
of course, it's tough to pick the number one player in the world. I mean, the guy is an incredible player.
Yes, but he's not winning all the time. It blows my mind. Yeah,
I think, Danielle, obviously, we were used to so long Tiger being the number one player in the world and also winning all the time.
Yep.
And, you know, even all these guys who have come through, you know, again, Rory has had his stretches of ripping off three wins in a row. Spieth had his one historic year. Jason Day caught fire for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Johnson for a year. Those guys in like a year all had a year or so where they were the dominant player, not only number one, but just dominating and winning at a really high clip. Tiger's level the high clip, but it just shows you, you know, we got spoiled the Tiger because he did it for over a decade. Those guys all did it for maybe about a year or so.
It's really something what Tiger did and how he spoiled us. And when he's on the course and I listen to the hoops and the hollers and the energy that comes from, you know, it's like, whew, I don't know. It, you know, we always say, is there going to be another one? That's a tough one because he created. Did he have the game? He had the personality. Even though you didn't like maybe his personality, you were fascinated by his game and you couldn't help it. You know, you couldn't help but watch. And now he's got this great personality and he's got the game when his body's okay. And he still generates this energy. You just have to watch. I just want to close with a couple of notes about what's going to happen with the U.S. Open at Wing Foot. And, you know, everybody's wondering about the Ryder Cup. One thing that they did say about Wing Foot is that it's going to be scaled back. We're not going to see all the grandstand areas, the hospitality, merchandise tents, the concession areas. If the fans are allowed to attend, best case scenario, 10 to 12,000 daily, not the 30 to 40,000 number. So they're really, the way they need to be right now. What about the Ryder Cup? Now, what we're hearing that next week, we're going to find out right from the Guardian.
Right.
Just tell me, what do you think? Would you want to see the Ryder Cup with fans?
With fans, yes, I would. I, you know, these other tournaments, it is amazing when you watch them. And again, I haven't been to any in person yet without the fans. But when you watch them on TV, honestly, you almost don't even notice that there are no fans. It's very easy to get used to. The Ryder Cup would be a totally different animal, though. I mean, you need the fans for that. You know, the people singing the songs and the chanting and everything else, the ole, ole, ole. I mean, the event just is not the same without the fans. And, you know, I know logistically it makes everything tougher next year and everything else, but it would be great to play that event with fans in particular. And it does sound like it will be that way. It will be postponed to when they can't have fans. So I think that's probably the right call. I think it wouldn't be the same without the fans. And, you know, I think for the players and everybody else too, I think they all agree with that for the most part.
Yeah, it's the 13th man, and with so few players on each side, 12 and 12, it doesn't give the camera much to do.
The U.S. has struggled. The U.S. finally has a home game.
They
need the home fans there.
Hey.
I was there at Hazeltine in 2016. I mean, the fans, I know the fans got a little too rowdy for people's taste, but the U.S. players fed off that crowd. It definitely makes a difference. And the U.S., let's be honest, they need all the help they can get. So let's get them a home game next year.
Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest. Thanks so much. It's great talking with you.
Great talking with you as always, Danielle. Thank you. Have a great rest of the show. Have a great weekend.
You too. Aloha. Stay safe. We're going to come back. We got Jonathan Coachman, the coach. He's PGA Works ambassador, sportscaster for WWE. Yes, this Jonathan Coachman. And Golf Channel, of course, and sportscaster for ESPN after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
On the road with Little Mike. Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Rainer Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Rainer Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Jonathan Coachman, known as the Coach. If you watch Morning Drive and you see him, everybody says, hey, the Coach. He's sportscaster for WWE, and he's sportscaster for ESPN, and now he is ambassador for PGA Works. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jonathan.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here for the very first time. Thank you so much for having me on this gorgeous Saturday morning.
Isn't it gorgeous? It's absolutely beautiful. It's spectacular. I'm going to give everybody just a little bit of a background. PGA Reach is the 501c3 charitable foundation of the PGA of America. The mission of PGA Reach is to positively impact the lives of youth, military, and diverse populations, enabling access to PGA professionals, PGA sections, and the game of golf. So there are three prongs. There's PGA Reach, the PGA Junior League, PGA Hope, helping our patriots everywhere, and PGA Work. So PGA Reach is actually three different prongs. I got it. PGA Junior League, PGA Hope, and PGA Works. And you are our PGA Works ambassador. What drew you into this?
Well, it was pretty easy for me, because when I decided at the end of my time at ESPN that the second act for me was going to be golf, and I wanted golf to be a big part of what I do for a lot of different reasons. A, I love the game. B, I wanted to be able to do something on TV, radio, podcasting until I'm 80 years old. And I like being at golf events, and I got to call the Masters for 3 years, their digital highlights. So working with the PGA of America was on my bucket list. A year ago, they have a big college championship. Unfortunately, Danielle wasn't able to go on this year. But I was able to work with the kids, 400 kids, and deal with them face-to-face. And now the sport of golf is in desperate need, and the business of golf, bringing forth diversity, inclusion, all the things we've all been talking about the last few weeks, we've been working on for a year, and we're not even close to being where we need to be. But with me, Paul Millsap of the Denver Nuggets, and we're incredibly excited to have Steph Curry with the junior part of PGA Reach, we really feel like we can positively impact young kids, bring them into not just the sport of golf at a young age, but then work into the business of golf so we can start to really diversify at every single level. So when young kids watch something on TV or they watch somebody, they see somebody that looks like them. And when that happens, it's a very simple process. They say, I want to do that, or mm-hmm. I want to be like that person. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. And I've embraced that role as a person who's been around on national TV for a little bit. And that's the entire reason why I love being a part of the PGA of America and PGA Works.
That's awesome. And what I didn't realize is all the different aspects of PGA Works. There's the fellowships, college scholarships, career exploration events, championship golf, inspiring for everybody from all different walks of life to pursue careers in the golf industry. It's exactly what you were saying. It's what we're talking about now, opening the doors, making golf for everyone, bringing them into the game. Everyone talks about, okay, golf is so difficult to get into because it's so expensive. It's one of the issues that there seems to be, but is the PGA working on that?
Well, hey, there's a lot of things, and I've been very, very forceful in my dealings with the people of the PGA of America because we did not need all of these horrific things to happen for golf to have to recognize that the diversity is at an embarrassingly low level. And I'm not just talking about the PGA of America. I'm talking about Golf Channel, the PGA Tour, who I also work with. In specific, PGA Tour and PGA of America have really stepped up, and we're having these conversations, and cost is a big thing. The scholarships are a big thing. But also having access to the PGA professionals at a young age that they don't have to pay to do. And if we can knock down those barriers and knock down those myths and really put money where it needs to be, because let's be honest, Danielle, a lot of the minority PGA professionals, which there's very, very few, and a lot of the minority-based businesses who would love to invest and advertise with the PGA of America or the PGA Tour, if they can do it at a lower level, if they can't advertise on the Ryder Cup or they can't advertise on the PGA Championship, guess what? There's a lot of smaller companies that are minority owned that would love to be a part. So they can come in, put their dollars where it can help younger kids and it can help out everybody. And that's what I'm here to try to educate these organizations on and the simple ways that we can make these things work.
Yeah, so for instance, let's start with the fellowship program, PGA Works Fellowship, giving a 1 year paid immersion in the PGA Section Foundation operations.
The thing about it is a lot of people don't realize, and a lot of young kids, they just think of being in golf as, I want to play, and I want to go out and play with my friends. And when I get to be an adult outside of college, then it's something I can do on the weekends. We're trying to make them understand by putting them in situations that they can actually touch the business of golf, touch the sport of golf, and say, you know what, this can be a career for me and not just a hobby. And that's what all the different sections of PGA Works is about, and by doing that, that's how you start to diversify, is getting them in at 22 years of age, and not also, because I've preached this to them as well, you can't be, the optics can't be that it's that boring, elitist sport that's really slow and nobody has fun at. and that's the way it's been, you know.
Yes,
that.
Yes.
So, like, having, like, the match with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and Tiger, you could hear how much fun the personalities. That you don't have to be quiet when you're playing golf. You have to have etiquette. But all of these things that we've been teaching for a long time, we're trying to do that through these fellowships, through the scholarship programs, through all the different aspects of PGA Works.
Yeah, and it's also an opportunity to find a job. Maybe you're not a great golfer. You're a good golfer, but not great. So you can work in the business of golf. You can stay close to the game, not necessarily playing the game. I like this. PGA Works Fellowship is a program that offers access to individuals from diverse backgrounds, whether by gender, age, race or color, national origin or ancestry, sexual orientation, disability, religion or veteran status, into the golf industry to gain experience in all facets of the golf game, the industry of the game. I mean, there's so many different things. There are a lot of kids would, a superintendent. Getting your hands into the soil and working in a kind of a farm environment. A lot of kids like that and grow up and love that. Or working in fashion. So then you become a merchandiser. In a pro shop. There's just so many different things that you can do in the game, not necessarily becoming a professional golfer.
The thing about it, and you just made four very good points, is that a lot of times young people, and I shouldn't even just say young people, adults too, they don't know what they don't know, or they don't know what they're not thinking about. And when you tell somebody, you can make golf a career. All they ever think about 95% of the time is, I have to be a professional. Well, the problem is that it's not even the top 1%. You're talking about the 0.00001% that can play it and earn a living at it. But you can do all the things you just said and have fun at it, and while you're doing it, pay it forward and bring somebody else underneath you. My entire passion in life now, since I've been at ESPN, the WWE, the reason I said I have to leave ESPN is because I wanted to bring all the worlds together. A few years ago, I went to WrestleMania. We took SportsCenter to WrestleMania. After WrestleMania, we went to the Masters. As I was walking around the practice day on Tuesday, I had at least 15 or 20 people come up to me, and they said, I was just at WrestleMania. And that's when it hit me that everything I was telling my executives and bosses at ESPN was true, that we have to cross-promote, and we have to bring these eyeballs to this event, these events to these eyeballs, and bring all of these different people and cross-sections of life together instead of making them, you know, like a silo sport where this sport can't like this sport. And that's why I'm doing this. I feel it's my passion. And people like to follow positivity and energy. And those are two things that I have a lot of. And so that's what I think my role will be for the next 25 years, to be honest with you.
That's awesome. It was since 2017, 9 of the 10 fellowship alumni have jobs in the industry.
And, there you go.
You know, now PGA Work scholarships. Now, you can get like $8,000 scholarships to go into PGA Works?
They're now in a position, I believe in the next week or so, everything's going to be reevaluated. And the reason for it is because a lot of schools now are changing. Some schools aren't opening up. Some things aren't. Some kids don't want to go back to school. So they're reevaluating how they're going to go about that. So if you go to the website, PGA of America, it's all going to be laid out there. But they're having a huge meeting this week because in addition to that, Danielle, there's a lot of other changes that we need to make that have been ignored for a very, very long time. So all of these things are going to be reevaluated. And I'm hoping by the time the PGA Championship comes in August that everything will be clear. And I try to answer as many kids on LinkedIn and social media as reach out to me. But I'm just an ambassador. I'm not in there every single day.
Sure.
But the more I'm involved, the more I'm going to be able to help kids and be able to also fight for them so they can become part of this. Because the hardest thing to do is, well, I can't get in, or I can't be a part of it, or it's too hard. You know, all those things. And if you feel that way, sometimes you don't go after it. And if you don't go after it, you certainly can't get it then. It's not going to knock on your front door.
So I was on the website, and I said, well, how do I get in? Because, you know, I wouldn't mind doing this. So there's the PGA Works Golf Management University Scholarship Program. It's for high school seniors and graduates and current post-secondary undergraduates. And so if you're interested, it's of course, there's all these changes coming about because of the situation. I mean, we don't know whether they say that school's going to start. For us, it starts in late July, early August, and that we'll be back in the classroom. But who knows? You know, everything is in flux right now, given coronavirus and COVID-19 and the situation of being healthy first. So, but you go to learnmore.scholarshipsapply.org, and that'll get you directly there.
And Danielle, what I'm trying to get them to do, and part of the reason I wasn't evading your question, but I was trying to make it clear that I'm really pressing them that we should not limit it to just graduates or those college age, because we just held a virtual career fair in May, and we had a week's notice, and we had over 1,000 people tune in to some of the best industry leaders. Most of them were minorities. And I said to them, I said, what if a 30-year-old wants to make a career change? Why are we not helping them?
Yes.
We're just helping the college kid. And just as you just said, and that is something that they're taking into consideration. Because I don't feel like whether your age, your race, whatever it is, your gender, whatever it is, you shouldn't be limited if we're really, truly trying to expand the game of golf and include everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Okay, finally, you mentioned, well, not finally, because I'm going to ask you about something that we just learned about, before we close our conversation, and I know the coach knows about these things. Whoop straps. But before we go to whoop straps, the PGA Works Collegiate Championship, I didn't know that there was a PGA Works Collegiate Championship, and I've been in doing this golf show over 20 years. So the nation's top minority golfers are invited to compete, and the top employers of the PGA Works Expo, they're all at this expo, the top employers, where these young collegians then learn what careers they can pursue. You were at this one last year?
Yeah, and actually we changed the name, and that's why you haven't heard of it. Last year was the first time they called it that, because I didn't, and it wasn't my decision, but I supported it wholeheartedly. When you call something a minority championship, again, you're putting yourself in a box. And if we really want systemic racism or whatever is going on in our world and this particular sport, you can't call something specific to where if you're a white college kid and you happen to play on a majority of minority team, that you can't play in this championship. That's not okay. And so they've changed the name of it and also expanded it to have a career expo with it. And we had a blast. We had a long drive exhibition with, at the time, our current world champions, Maurice and Phyllis Metty. And the kids were just enthralled. They could not believe what they were watching up close. And we were only supposed to be there for 20 or 25 minutes. We went for well over an hour.
Wow.
It was so much fun. And they had a really good golf tournament, too, and they packaged it up on CBS. And this year our plan was to have me do play-by-play for a couple of holes and live stream parts of the tournament so it could get back out there on YouTube or whatever channels we decided. So once we get back next year, it's going to be a big, big part of what we do with PGA Works.
Fantastic. Awesome. I love your energy, and I'm so glad you're doing
Thank
this.
You.
You know, this is awesome. And you're the perfect person to be there, because that's the kind of energy we need for the PGA of America, you know, to embrace everybody and energize. It's the whole thing. Bring the energy to the game.
It drives me nuts. It has driven me nuts for years that, and I've told the PGA of America this, you've got, and we have to create our own content. Meaning pregame, postgame shows, having the PGA professionals be a part of that. If you really want to focus on the guys that teach, then do content that focuses on them and don't just throw up a 30-second video every now and then, but really embrace the content that leads to the education, which is why somebody like me who's been at ESPN or all these different big entertainment places, if you're not entertaining, people are not watching you. And there's almost 700,000 followers on Instagram, and they do very little content. So we're really going to start amping up the content, podcasting, things of that nature that can really focus on these young kids, the PGA professionals, and support the bigger events like the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup.
Fantastic. Okay, now I got to talk to you about whoop straps. So I'm watching television, right, as always, watching Golf Channel before it goes over to CBS for the weekend. And I'm looking at Justin Thomas, and he's talking about how the first person who found themselves to be positive, he first figured out that there was something wrong with him because of the whoop strap he's wearing. And I'm like, the what?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
I'm still learning about it, too. But if Justin Thomas is about it, and this is marketing 101, is if you can get somebody you really trust and somebody that you like, is fun, has a great personality, then you're going to learn about it. I'm still learning about it, too. But if he likes it, then I guarantee you they're going to be successful. A lot of people are going to try it, too.
Yeah. Apparently, it leverages your respiratory rate. And so it can read all that, and they've developed this algorithm capable of identifying 80% of the symptomatic COVID-19 cases. Now, again, that's symptomatic. That's, you know, not asymptomatic.
Right.
But you know, it's a big step forward for anybody who's a little bit worried about it. You know, I know a lot of people have bought that little device that you can put on your finger to see what your heart rate is, if you're in a... Just all these things that are happening in the world right now. Whoop straps. It's
it's a big positive for it, and I think originally they made it because, and like Justin said, he likes to look at it during his round. And if you're in a really, really pressure-packed final round, then you've got one of these things, and your caddy can say, listen, or you can say to yourself, bring it back down, bring your heart rate down. And I think it's really going to help players long-term be more relaxed in the pressure-packed situation, in addition to the positive things that it's doing to help with deciding if you have coronavirus or not.
Yeah, yeah. So, breathe. Oh, it's
breathe
a pleasure. So good to meet you. Jonathan Coachman, the coach, PGA Works ambassador. I hope you'll be on the show again.
Hey, you call me. I'll be here anytime.
Awesome.
I mean that.
Thank you. Aloha.
All right. Aloha. Have a great day and a great weekend. Take care.
We're going to bring back Claude Brousseau. In fact, a PGA Master, Director of Instruction, Wailea Golf Club at Wailea Golf Academy, and Golf Channel Academy lead coach and creator of the Virtual Golf Academy for your desktop or mobile device. Golf Digest, best teacher in your state, is ranked by their peers. Claude Brousseau was voted number one by his peers. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
I know a lot of folks are uncomfortable about having people coming into their home right now, but you can rest assured calling Oahu Extraction, they are completely COVID-19 compliant. So they will protect themselves, protect you 24/7. Call Oahu Extraction. The number is 330-6212. Oahu Extraction.
Come take a swing for charity. Ronald McDonald House Charities Hawaii has partnered with Bayview Golf Course and Driving Range. Play the Pebble Beach Virtual Golf Course using top tracer technology. Register and compete in the Ronald McDonald House Charities Virtual Golf Tournament. You'll be helping local families and children, Keiki, stay together while the kids get their medical care. Players compete for prizes any day, anytime, between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. during the entire month of July. Post your scores, and at the end of July, the winners will be drawn. The first 25 to register get a Ronald McDonald gift bag. Whether you're a seasoned golfer or family with Keiki, come out and enjoy an exciting game at Bayview's covered range. Email Ronald McDonald House Charities Hawaii at golf@rmhchawaii.org or come to Bayview Golf Course in Kaneohe. Come swing for the cause.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Instruction, Wailea Golf Club at Wailea on Maui, Golf Channel Academy lead coach, and it is the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. Claude created the Virtual Golf Academy, and that's for your desktop or your device. Golf Digest ranked the best teachers in Hawaii by their peers. Claude Brousseau was ranked number one by his peers. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I forgot, author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. We need to send one of these to Bryson DeChambeau. And so he's got the driver down. Now we just need him. He said he was with Webb Simpson, you know, and he realized watching Webb Simpson putt that he had no idea how to putt. That's quite a realization, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And then I will tell you, if you make a living playing golf like these ladies and gentlemen are doing on the tour, you better to putt well. Of course, the distance and driving the ball is very important. But basically, if you look at who wins the weekend, most of the time the winner will be at least in the rank in the putting statistic on the top five.
Yeah,
in the field. So yes, realizing you're not a good putter could be a stressful awakening.
Right, exactly. And the first thing you need to do is find somebody, you know, who can help you. And realizing asking for help is one of the hardest things for a lot of people to do. But that's one of the most important things in life. If you know you need help, go find it. And in your case, you're aim point certified. You know, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game is the name of your book. Virtual Golf Academy, it's in segments. So if you're having a bad putting day, you can go straight to the segment that deals with the putting. Tell us about your Virtual Golf Academy.
Yes, Danielle. So the Virtual Academy, more and more listener and golfer look to learn the game and improve by watching videos either on YouTube or the Golf Channel. So the Virtual Academy, it's broadcasting quality videos, and then you got all different aspects of the game, like you just expressed. If you have difficulty with putting, you go to virtualgolfacademy.tv, you look at putting, and then you have a series of videos there. And I think what differentiates the Virtual Golf Academy as well is I have different ways to explain the same concept. When you watch other places, there is one way to do it. I don't believe in that. I believe in, of course, there is some fundamental. We know that in putting, per se, 90% of what happened to the ball is due to the club face. Guess what? When you have that little piece of knowledge, you start to pay attention to the club face. However, everybody's a little bit different the way they will achieve a more efficient stroke. So Virtual Academy is a great place to go because you got different options. You find the one that fits you. And then it's like 2-for-1 there, because if you go on the website, you will see there's latest article, and then you also have part of my books there. So you can mix and match whatever fits your needs.
Right, right. And it's easy to find. So virtualgolfacademy.tv, that's where you go. I want you to go there if you're, you know, hanging out at home. Just virtualgolfacademy.tv. And I also want to give away. I know some people like to meet Claude in person. And if you're on Maui or if you're heading to Maui, you know, or it, and we, you don't have to use it right away. So you're going to have an option, either having a lesson with Hawaii's only master PGA master professional, Claude Brousseau, at Wailea Golf Academy, or if you'd like the virtual golfacademy.tv, which is really cool, because tell us about the audio, and then you also have subtitles, so it's in English that you can just read and not listen.
That's very accurate, Danielle. So we did a study when we created that virtual academy that 80% of the people who watch video don't want to have the sound on it, or not disturbing other people, or so we have a subtitle. So that means that's another differentiation with other product out there. So that means you can just play it without the sound if you decide to, and then every sentence is there. You subtitle, you read it, and then you're ready to go. It's easy to use. Let's say before you go on the golf course, you can just, okay, today I'm struggling with chipping or putting. You can just look at that section as well. And even we, of course, not in tournament, but when you're just playing for a casual round or for fun, you get a little bit of trouble, hey, you can watch it on your phone while you're playing as well.
Yes. You just don't want to slow everybody down. But if you know what's great?
No.
Right. Yeah, but if you're out just practicing, like sometimes it's good to go play around and just let yourself practice. I mean, you're Vision 54 certified, or you're a Vision 54 coach, rather. And Vision 54 is one of their books is about learning to play the game on the golf course. And I think it's perfect that, you know, you go on the golf course and it's the best place to learn because it's where you're ultimately going to have to do it, what you're learning on the driving range. So you go on the course and if you just say, oh, go ahead of, I'm just messing around today. And you'll have your virtual golf academy, app with you, you know, and it's right there. You can say, what should I do? What's suggested? What does Claude suggest? And the high definition video, it's beautifully done. Absolutely beautiful. So if you would like to win either a lesson with Claude Brousseau in person at Wailea, at the Wailea Golf Academy with Claude Brousseau, or if you'd like to get your very own virtual golf academy, then you just need to dial this number. It is 545-1111, 808-545-1111. Let's talk a little bit about what do you think about the distance some of these players are going for? A question I'm asking this the second time today, is the distance issue ruining the art of the game?
It's an open discussion, I will say. For sure, having distance, even back then, I mean, Jack Nicklaus was hitting the ball further than anybody else at his time. So distance always been a great asset of the game. However, now, when we talked about the PGA Tour today, you have to realize if your dream is going on the tour or earning a living playing golf, you must be long because that's the name of the game today. It's power the ball. I won't say it necessarily destroyed the finesse of the game because guess what? You still have to be great with your wedges because it's physics. The further an object travels, the more dispersion there is. So you won't necessarily find the fairway. So it put a lot of pressure, if I should say, on the wedge play. You still need to putt well, but for sure, distance is a big advantage for whoever plays the game. Now, the distance get further today, mainly for the design of the balls. Of course, it's like a compound effect of few little things. The ball is better. Of course, the equipment. Now, with all the device that today we can measure everything. Look at a tool player like almost like a Formula One driver or the mechanics around a Formula One team, a little adjustment here and there. So the tool player today have the best equipment. They can tailor the like if you look at the DeChambeau, he's using a 5.5 degree driver. Nobody else used that. But guess what? He find out because he's a mad scientist that I read somewhere. And so he find out that for him, this is the best. So they optimize everything. Now, if we go for most of your listeners that won't hit the ball 310, that will not happen. They have to manage their distance anyway, but play for play from the tee that they will enjoy the game. For the rest of us that not doing that for a living, we do that for a hobby, quality time with people we love, and fun. So you need to find the fun, and of course, hitting it far, it's fun.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. Hitting it far is fun. There's something else that everybody, you're supposed to, there's something about the way he holds his clubs. That just seems completely against what everybody's taught, which just shows you that you've got to play your own swing, you know. And Claude, when you are teaching, do you watch first how their swing is, and then modify or add to it based on what their natural swing is?
Absolutely, Danielle. You hit the nail on the head right there. I will tell you, like this week, I had two beginners. Okay, never touched a club. A father and son came for Father's Day. And they say, how should I hold it? I say, hold it the way you want. Swing at it. And then, don't worry, I will help you after. But first, my philosophy is see the athlete how they swing. And then people start to realize, wow, I know how I have abilities to move my body in the space. And then from there, we built a swing customized for everybody. And then I really listen to people. I would like to share this one. This week I had this lady, and then I say, you know, how would you make a ball go right? How would you make a ball go left? And she looked at me like I came from Mars. She says, oh, my God, I never thought that I can control the ball. You see? So from a teacher point of view and coach, I say, yeah, but you know, Miss X, see, the game is about controlling the ball. It's about controlling the direction, controlling the distance, controlling the trajectory. So hitting the ball is part of it. But so my coaching is really, I want to see what people have, what is their goal, and then customize the swing for them. Because the reality also is most of the people don't have a lot of time to practice. Life get in the way. So I really, everybody leaves the coaching team with me with a game plan that they can do exercise at home, at the office, waiting in line if they want somewhere, because they can transfer that motor skill to golf. I like to say this to people, and I do a demonstration, like mind-boggling when people see that. I say, golf is so simple that it's difficult to do.
Well, gosh, and that's simple. I don't think anybody's thought of it as being simple, but it certainly is difficult to do. So we need to get this simple. We haven't gotten our ninth caller yet. The number is 808-545-1111. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Club at Wailea on Maui. Either a lesson with Claude in person, practicing social distancing, of course, or your very own virtual golf academy. And you can see everything at virtualgolfacademy.tv. This is an $89 value. It's $89 a year or $9.99 every month. And it's a really great addition with subtitles soon. Are you bringing them in French, Spanish, Korean, and Japanese?
We still work on that. Of course, with everything going on in the world right now, that's kind of a delay, our production of that, but that's in the process. And yes, we work hard to hopefully get this done by beginning of next year, I guess, because everything got delayed.
I would like
to just add that this works. I got an example of a Joe. He lives in North Carolina. He's 70 years old, play golf, and then he was struggling with his swing, and he watched the video on the swing pad on the Virtual Golf Academy, and then the next day he went and played only 9 holes at the end of the day, you know, relaxing and play golf, and he shot even par. So he sent me a text. He says, Claude, I cannot believe just by watching that how efficient, simple, that I can apply it right away. The next day he went and shot even par for 9 holes. I guess somebody else was struggling with sun play. So he watched it and then sent me a text, said, oh, my sun problem is resolved now. So he makes me very appreciative. I feel so fortunate that people trust my expertise, and the pleasure that I have in life is helping people to have fun with this great game. And it's a game for everybody, regardless of your age, your when you start. This is the beauty of golf. You can start at any age. I would strongly suggest get some coaching, if it's not with me, with somebody else, because you will save time, energy, and money, because you will play better soon, and you don't have to relearn the bad habit that you may take by yourself. It's a game that is very non-intuitive, because what you most of the people want to go underneath the ball, as an example, and guess what? You don't want to go underneath the ball. You want to go on the ball. That's quite different. So you need to learn how to do this. It's all about learning.
It's all about learning, truly. The gentleman from Oahu who came over to Wailea last weekend, what was the trip like for him?
Oh man, he loved it, and he had played the Wailea courses before, but a long time ago. So, and he was a very good golfer. I think his index was 4, and he knew the swing. So, and then we just tweaked a little thing in his swing, and then he says, "Oh man, you see, I got confused. I had too many thoughts in my head. I watched too many instruction, and then now I don't know how to do it." And then we just, the better is the player, you know, the more it's just fine-tuning a bit. We fine-tuned a few things, and he started to play very well. So, and he struck the ball fantastic. He said, "Oh, I'm so happy I cannot wait to go and play." And then he went and played the next day and had a good time. It's about having a good time.
Yes, go ahead, please.
I would just add this quickly. Always remember, everybody that's listening around the world, you're fantastic, so Danielle. Missing shots, it's part of playing golf. So don't get upset. You just don't want to miss it too badly and miss it quick.
Thank you. It's missing shots. It's all about playing. Yes, it's what happens. Thank you so much, Claude, for being on the show. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Club. He is Vision 54 coach and Aimpoint certified. He really can help you with all aspects of your game. Thanks, Claude. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you so much, Danielle.
We're going to come back. Ron Cyrax standing by. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
Come take a swing for charity. Ronald McDonald House Charities Hawaii has partnered with Bayview Golf Course and Driving Range. Play the Pebble Beach Virtual Golf Course using Top Tracer technology. Register and compete in the Ronald McDonald House Charities Virtual Golf Tournament. You'll be helping local families and children, Keiki, stay together while the kids get their medical care. Players compete for prizes any day, anytime, between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. during the entire month of July. Post your scores, and at the end of July, the winners will be drawn. The first 25 to register get a Ronald McDonald gift bag. Whether you're a seasoned golfer or family with Keiki, come out and enjoy an exciting game at Bayview's covered range. Email Ronald McDonald House Charities Hawaii at golf@rmhchawaii.org or come to Bayview Golf Course in Kaneohe. Come swing for the cause.
We are KPUA Hilo, KONI Lanai, KTOH Lihue, KORL Waianae Honolulu.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction.
water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, LPGA Media Excellence Award, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, author, Vision 54, the trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's interesting how things are happening in the game for women. Let's see now. We've got coming up the next event that I can see on the calendar is July 31st. That's when the PGA, the LPGA season is going to get back into action in Toledo, Ohio. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're going to open with back-to-back events in Toledo. The Drive-On Championship will be at Inverness, where the Solheim Cup is going to be next year. And then the Marathon Classic, which is the regular tour stop in Toledo, will be the week after that. They added in that Drive-On Championship at Inverness. They got together some sponsors whose events have been canceled for this year. And they pitched in some money, and they put up $1 million for a purse. It's going to be a 144-player field. And it's really just an opportunity to give the players a chance at a payday. And there won't be a title sponsor. It'll be called the Drive-On Championship. And as you know, Drive-On is sort of a marketing slogan the LPGA has been using for the last year or so. So we get going on July 31st, and then we hope things unfold from there.
Right, right. And then the Marathon Classic, also in Ohio, yeah. That presented by Dana in Sylvania. That is going to be fantastic to have two events in the same state. Because what we're watching now, of course, is it must be giving the commissioner some pause, all of the increase in the cases around the states.
Well, you know, we're seeing with the PGA Tour. PGA Tour tried very hard to create a bubble for their players. You know, they started out in Fort Worth, then they went to Hilton Head, and the whole idea was to have all the players, all the caddies, on a charter jet and stay in a bubble. But the fact is, you can't have an airtight bubble. You know, Nick Watney missed the cut. He went back home to Austin, and he ended up being the first player to test positive. So it's hard to keep that airtight bubble in there. And the added challenge for the LPGA is about 30% of its players live outside the United States. So the commissioners had to give them enough of a heads up about the resumption of play so that they can get to the United States. And if they have to quarantine for 14 days, do that. But he's had to give his players enough notice to travel. And now, you know, they've got the Evian Championship in France has already been canceled. But the Women's Scottish Open, Women's British Open, which is also in Scotland, are both still on at this point. But, you know, there's talk now about travel restrictions on Americans going mm-hmm. into Europe. So everyone's holding their breath to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that was my next question. Because the European Union is negotiating which countries will be allowed to go across borders, and we're not invited. I mean, even Asian countries really don't want us to come over yet. Maybe in December, says Thailand. So we do have a problem with travel, and I'm wondering, do any of the, if you heard any of the, our Asian players, are they nervous about coming to the States?
Well, you know, I don't, I don't think they're nervous about coming here. I think that they're just nervous about what obstacles there might be to getting in.
Mm.
So Young Yu went, she won a tournament on the Korean LPGA last week. Some of the other players, I know Jin Young Ko has stayed in the United States a lot and has been practicing in the San Diego area. A lot of them have American bases, you know, and so, but I do think since the Korean LPGA got going, some players went back just to get reps in over there to get some play in and a chance to make some money. Look, for both the players and the organizations, the LPGA does not have anywhere near the economic safety net that the PGA Tour has. The PGA Tour has much more money. PGA Tour players make much more money, and a lot of the LPGA players need to be out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Justin Rose rescuing the LET players with the Rose Ladies series, which is going great.
That was awesome. That was an awesome move on his part. And Justin and his wife, Kate, are two people who really see the big picture on everything, and they know that. And Danielle, this is one of my hopes, is that coming out of this crisis is that everybody, all the stakeholders in golf, maybe they'll start working together a little bit better, and the tours not compete against each other. Uh-huh. And I'm talking about, the PGA Tour and the LPGA not scheduling big events up against each other, but just to realize it's to everybody's benefit, everybody's advantage, to coordinate as best you can so that you're bringing the best possible golf to the fans every possible week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very important, and it shows in the now collective or the working together of the LET and the LPGA. Megan McLaren wrote a really great article on the LPGA site, saying we've always been proud of what our tour stands for, LET. But since the new partnership between the LPGA and LET became a reality late last year, there's been a shift in energy among my fellow LET players. The pride has turned into excitement. Excitement for ourselves, for our collective future. The outlook for European women's golf is nothing but positive. It's that kind of, finally those two entities, and there was so much resistance on one side to trust and come together. And
right.
It's wonderful.
Trust is an important thing in all this. Look, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when the LPGA Championship transitioned to become the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, there were a lot of people who opposed that move. They did not like giving up that name, LPGA Championship, to become the Women's PGA Championship. But what's resulted from that is drastically higher prize money and drastically better golf courses and network TV coverage on the weekends. That's, so it's better exposure, a better payday on better golf courses. That's a win-win-win situation. And in Mike Wan, the LPGA has as commissioner the perfect person to be in that spot right now, because he has created partnerships with the PGA of America, leveraged that into the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. He created a business relationship with the PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour helped negotiate the new TV deal for the LPGA, which goes into effect in 2022. And I think from that new TV deal, you're going to see broader exposure of the game. I think the PGA Tour is starting to realize that the second most valuable property in golf right now is the LPGA. And that partnering with them and promoting them, elevating their exposure, is only going to grow that tour and in that way grow the overall revenue for all of golf.
Yeah, and the LPGA has a lot of Asian connections. And where's the next market for the PGA Tour? I would think Asia.
Well, one of the reasons when Ty Votaw left as commissioner of the LPGA, he quickly got gobbled up by the PGA Tour. And part of their interest in Ty Votaw was how successful he was in marketing the LPGA in Asia, particularly in Korea. And, you know, the Koreans love Thai Bota. And the largest single revenue stream the LPGA has is Korean TV money. And if you look, you know, they start to bring in, and you have not only a lot of Korean players on the tour, you have a lot of Korean companies sponsoring tournaments on the LPGA Tour, and now some of them are also sponsoring tournaments on the PGA Tour. Yes, it's a growth area, and you know, when you talk about holding your breath going down the road, in October, the LPGA goes back to Asia. Its first Asia swing, which was China, Thailand, Singapore, was wiped out by COVID-19. And everyone's just holding their breath and hoping that October happens and that they're able to go over and do the four-tournament swing that goes through China, Japan, Korea, and Malaysia.
Yeah, well, they seem to be doing a very good job of keeping COVID-19 under control and out. And whenever there is a flare-up, they jump right on it. They've been very good at that. You mentioned, you know, Drive On. And what I see, before I ask you this question, do you think the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour, or excuse me, the PGA Tour and the European Tour could create the same kind of synthesis that the LET and LPGA have created?
I think they're moving in that direction. I think, first, you know, the Great Recession was a step in that direction. The European PGA Tour had outmaneuvered the PGA Tour in terms of the rest of the world. They really had become a global tour. And then as the real estate bubble burst and some bottoms fell out overseas, they became challenged. Now the COVID-19 situation has made even more, they don't have, again, anywhere near the safety net below it that the PGA Tour has. And I do think you are going to see something similar eventually between the PGA Tour and the European PGA Tour, as we're seeing between the LPGA and the LET.
Excellent. Now, Race for Unity. This is something that's happening on the LPGA that is so cool. The Race for Unity raised over $80,000 for LPGA, USGA Girls Golf, and PGA Works. And it's bringing the girls together, and they're having a blast on their Pelotons. Did you read about this?
Yeah, you know, I was, Morgan Pressel was very, very active in that, and she's somebody I've known for a very long time now, And I work with her to help promote it when they were out there. And you know, Danielle, in every sort of way, you look in terms of COVID-19, you look in terms of Race for Unity, you really see in the leadership position that LPGA players have taken in all this. The LPGA was really one of the first sports organizations in any sport affected by COVID-19. They did their first two tournaments in Florida, then they did two in Australia. Then they were supposed to go China, Thailand, Singapore. And on January 31st, they canceled China. And then on February 2nd, they canceled Thailand and Singapore. So they were impacted by the virus early on. And now, and I think because of all the diversity on the LPGA, how I think there's 37 nations represented there right now. It's got a very, very strong Asian presence in it, a growing Latin American presence. The whole idea of the Race for Unity was really something that they were able to plug into. And I think in every way, any corporation who's paying attention has to realize that right now the LPGA is really a growth property for all of these reasons, for its pure globalism. It is golf's global tour.
Yeah, and the LPGA USGA girls golf team rode for the newly established Renee Powell Grant. The objective of the Renee Powell Grant is to provide need-based grants to girls golf programs that serve Black communities.
Yep.
And I was very touched by Annika Sorenstam. She took part as well. And she was speaking with Damon Hack on Instagram. She said, first of all, golf is a sport for everyone. It doesn't matter what gender, what skill, what age, what race. I know that people in the golf industry have big hearts. you know, happy to help. Again, we feel very lucky to do what we love to do and to be able to give back to people through the game. It's amazing what this team has done in a week, but it also shows what the golf community is capable of doing when we want to and when we need to. And that's a race for unity on the great old Peloton bike.
you know, Danielle, I've always felt golf proves over and over again that it's the game that gives back. Golf does more for charity than any other sport. There's no question about that. And what we're seeing right now is that because of this pandemic going on around us, golf is stepping in a bunch of ways. I got an email a couple of weeks ago from the National Golf Foundation saying that rounds played are way up. Sales of beginner sets of golf clubs are way up. And they're seeing, they don't have the hard numbers yet, but they're seeing anecdotal evidence that new players are coming to the game and that players who once played the game quit are now coming back to the game because I think they're looking at golf as a safe outdoor activity and, you know, is something that is a very, very healthy activity. You don't have to go into a gym to do it. It's so easy to social distance when you're on the golf course. At my club, our rule is you have to wear your mask until you get to the first tee, but then once you get to the first tee, the masks come off, and it's easy to social distance. We have flag sticks that you don't have to remove, so you don't have to touch them. Our bunker rakes have been taken out. Our ball washers have been removed, and unless you're a family member, it's one person per cart. But what we are having, we are seeing swarms of people coming to our golf course to play. People are seeing what a positive game it is.
Fantastic. Ron Cyrak, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award recipient, author of the Vision 54 trilogy. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Aloha, Danielle. Anytime.
Thank you. Aloha. We want to thank the sponsors who make this show possible. Oahu Extraction, the flood mitigation company across the state. Call Oahu Extraction. Whether the water in your home is from the storm, a broken water main, or a broken pipe upstairs or inside the house, you need Oahu Extraction immediately. Put this on your refrigerator, 330-6212. Or maybe the water didn't flood in. It trickled in and it stayed in the walls or just above, causing mold. Oahu Extraction can check inside your walls without cutting in to your walls. Their hydrometer does that. So, and if you're uncomfortable having people coming into your home now, don't worry. Oahu Extraction, COVID-19 compliant, protecting you and, of course, themselves. Call Oahu Extraction. Their number is 330-6212. 24/7. Emergencies, 330-6212. Aloha Power Equipment has what you need at their Waipahu and Sand Island stores. Get that Honda EU2200 generator. That's right. Get an extended warranty for that generator. They have it all. The best deals on the Honda EU2200 plus everything you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. That's Aloha Power Equipment and your Honda Superstore. And, of course, Bayview Golf Course, beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf, double-deck driving range with the top tracer at each station. And that's how you're going to play for the Ronald McDonald House, playing Pebble Beach anytime, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Post your scores. Go as a family. Post everybody's scores in July. Just go to Bayview Golf Course. Yes, indeed. That's a good idea. It's a beautiful place. The front nine, you get, watch out on two. It's a tough one. It doesn't look tough, but it is. The back nine, Bayview. I mean, it is absolutely stunning, the views of Kaneohe Bay that you'll have there. Okay? Bayview, Hawaii.com or call 247-0451. A beautiful golf course. Rainer Doors, most beautiful crafted garage doors, entry to safety with a push of a button. That's your Rainer garage door. Know your loved ones are safe. There are more than 50 different styles, and for your taste, for your home, and you can have them custom make something for you that suits you. But just check out Rainer Garage Doors. Gorgeous addition to the home. Adding security, of course. 676-3667. If you'd like to hear the show, you can always listen to the podcast at radiogolfclub.com. We're also streaming live there, so if you're not near your radio, you can listen to the live stream. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.